This is an ENN special report. Now reporting.
Peter, you have done a phenomenal job.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
Now let me throw a couple at you. What's your name?
Don.
Don.
Bang!
Don, you understand what I'm saying?
No, I'm out.
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
Huh? Hello? What? What's up, homies? Hi, guys.
ENN, which tonight is fueled by Sloman's. We'll start off by saying good evening to Michael.
I'm a baseball savant.
And then we'll say good evening to Don.
I follow sports.
And then, RJ, I just want to hear a couple of other drops to make me laugh, because I haven't had my computer all day, and I'm frankly missing hearing things.
Joey Badbutt. They pooped themselves.
I do well.
It's shrinking. He doesn't know. And it's sad, because he thinks he knows, which makes him dangerous.
Don't talk to me that way.
You dig?
Wow. Very fast.
How was that?
I really enjoyed it. By the way, I want to give a shout-out to the person on Twitter who just felt like taking time to go, hey, Peter, are you gaining weight or is it just the angle? And took a still shot from the TV show of when they're, like, doing that shot over our heads of when callers are on.
Right.
Zooms in on me when I'm in a position like this and looks disgusting and just sends it to me and goes, are you gaining weight?
Why do you care what people say on Twitter?
I'm a human being with feelings. Who would ever want to get sent a picture and someone going, hey, are you fat? Well, obviously, if you're looking at that picture, I certainly am. Looking at that picture, I only weigh 350 pounds.
Well, why don't you just answer him back? How's it working out for me?
Well, I'm not currently even logged into my Twitter, so I can't respond. I just saw it, but it filled me with anger and rage. People think we're...
Rage?
That's right, rage, John. Rage.
I'm fat! I don't want you zooming in on me! Back up!
That moment, see, you can hear there's some rage there. Speaking of which, perfect segue to hear from Jamal Adams. We talked a lot about him yesterday, and him being a malcontent of sorts. Well, today he had a lot to say about his relationship with Coach Gase, with Joe Douglas, with being quote-unquote shopped to other teams. Let's hear from Jamal, shall we?
Well, you know, man, you know, I woke up Monday morning and, you know, I kind of found out through a couple of reliable people that I have a lot of trust in that I was being, you know, shopped around. You know, at the end of the day, I know he has a job to do. And I respect it. But, you know, I hold myself in a high regard. I've done everything, you know, they've asked me to do since I've been here for the 3 years. You know, I didn't take that lightly. I really didn't. But, you know, when I heard that I got the call, that my agent called me and he told me what was going on, you know, it definitely hurt me. You know what I mean? I hold myself at a high level.
We know, you said
the
that.
Rams don't, they don't take calls on Aaron Donald.
Oh.
The Patriots don't take calls on Tom Brady.
Oh.
You know what I mean? That's where I hold myself in that regard.
Oh.
Regardless of, I understand that you have a job to do, that's the way I took it.
Okay. He was also,
Is it wrong that I'm totally already bored by this story? He doesn't make sense. He has no credibility. He's a whiner. He has a delusions of grandeur. All the things that bore me.
I defended Jamal a lot this season early on, and now he's losing me. He's really losing me. He was asked about his future. He says he's uncertain.
You know, like I said, man, I don't know the future. I really don't. You know, I'm excited to be here right now as we speak. I'm excited to put on a uniform. I'm excited to be a part of this organization. But, you know, for the future, I don't know. I really don't. I thought I did, but I don't know right now.
And last, he was asked if he has spoken with GM Joe Douglas.
I have not. I haven't. I'm not ready to talk. That's just where I'm at with it. Just not ready to talk. You know, when you go through something, sometimes it's best to just kind of let it cool down. And then when you're ready to talk and have a conversation, we definitely can. And I believe that, you know, we definitely will. But I'm not ready to talk about it.
Well, the Jets got to make this work. Now, the good news is they have some winnable games on their schedule. You start to win. All of a sudden, people feel better about themselves. But as long as the Jets are in this rebuild, he doesn't want to be here. And the day is going to come where they're going to have to cut loose. And they'll look back at the deadline of 2019 and say, it was never going to get any better than what Dallas offered us. And I wonder with everything that's happened since then. Since they didn't trade him, Michael, look at all the things that Jamal has said and has happened. Do they regret not dealing him for that first-round pick, if indeed that was what was offered by Dallas? You made a good point earlier in the show. It's probably a 23, 24 overall pick for a guy that was selected, what, seventh overall? But for where we're going here with this guy, will they look back and regret not making that deal?
He's a mess. I mean, he's making things very, very difficult. He has, again, delusions of grandeur, saying that you don't shop guys like Aaron Donald and Tom Brady. You're not those guys. And it's an unfortunate thing. Maybe you should have played a different position, but safety's not all that important.
And, Michael, again, it's the semantic game that he's choosing to play because he's choosing to make this a negative. All right? If he wants to be here, and he really, truly does respect Joe Douglas, then he could say, hey, they didn't shop me. They were just taking phone calls. I get it. We're in a tough spot here. I'm a player that's in high demand. So they were taking phone calls. It's cool. He's going out of his way to make it negative because he doesn't want to be here. And that's what's sad. And I know a lot of the Jet fans are going to defend him because he's one of the best players on the team and they hate their organization right now. What did the Jets do wrong? They haven't said boo about the guy in a negative fashion. They have defended him on this show and others. What do you want the Jets to do?
I think they have no culpability in this. They did their job. In fact, if Joe Douglas didn't take the phone call, he would not be doing his job.
He'd be, what would you say he'd be?
Derelict in his duty.
That's right.
Yeah.
I knew exactly. What's the other word you would use?
Professional malfeasance.
Professional malfeasance. Yeah. A word I do not think exists.
Malfeasance, I only know exists because it was used in Fargo.
I only know
you don't think the word exists?
Oh, I only know it on this show.
I have a big dictionary.
Because where else would you hear it besides in Fargo? The only time I hear it is when, because anytime Fargo's on, I watch it. And then when you say it. Otherwise, it wouldn't exist to me. How often do you hear it?
Things are getting tough in Cleveland.
You don't know.
The land. Baker Mayfield got very frustrated with a reporter who was asking him about a drive late in the first half in Sunday's loss to the Patriots.
It seemed like there was a lack of urgency there. There was something going on.
There was a penalty, so we were negative yardage.
No, but there was a lot of time between snaps.
Well, when the penalty happened, then we're behind the chains. No, stop saying but. I just told you the clock was running and we had a penalty. You want to give them the ball back? No, you don't play. You don't know it. That's just plain and simple. Was I happy with the drive? No, we didn't score points. It's the dumbest question you could ask. What? Jesus, Tony.
He said his name, though. Was that saying his name at the end?
I think.
That's not awful, then. Because they seem to know each other. So maybe they have a nice back and forth. I don't know. I don't live in Cleveland. My apologies. The floor is yours.
Sick to my stomach today. Sick to my stomach.
It's a big stomach.
Watch your mouth. It's a big head. First I had tequila dip. He's dead. Go look in his locker. So I'm down a receiver because I murdered one. But I still have my quarterback, my baby boy, my beautiful little Baker. And here comes Baker. Yelling, getting angry. You can't yell and get angry when you're a professional. My daddy used to tell me that some of the other members in the Farmers Union that he knew down from the FFA, he said, son, when someone gets angry and they lose their professionalism, what you need to do is show them how to be a man. And he said, there's only one way to show someone how to be a man. I said, Daddy, what's that? Do you take a class or do you try to work with them? He said, no, Freddie. You kill them. You kill them.
It's a little aggressive.
So now I have to kill my quarterback. You heard it here first. I'm going to kill Baker Mayfield.
Next week, on good.
Who's my backup again? I'm going to be starting whoever that is on Sunday.
Don't you think you should know who it is,
Fred? It doesn't matter. Because come Sunday, he's going to be playing in place of Baker.
Right, you're going to want to kill him.
Unless I feel like dragging that corpse out on the field and making him play.
You're going to go to jail, Freddie.
I'm going to be fine. Actually, I just found out who my backup is, and I'm feeling good. I'm going to be starting a fellow named Garrett Gilbert this weekend. And I like my chance. Freddie Keisha.
It's So basically,
it's a bloodbath in Cleveland.
To solve this issue is a killing spree.
One by one. I you know who I'm worried for?
Who's that?
Jarvis Landry. I think he's next.
Chubb. Well, Jarvis won't say anything bad.
He needs Chubb, though. Two fumbles?
Couple of fumbles.
Couple of fumbles.
He's lucky he made it out in the second half.
The Chubbster's right. So, Don, you did feel better, though, because Mayfield at least knew the guy he was fighting with before he walked off.
Yeah, so they might have a little rapport, and that's why he talked.
Maybe he was calling him some kind of derogatory name.
No. I think he said Tony.
Tony.
Oh, that's not good. Where I come from, you call somebody Tony.
It's bad.
Not good.
What if his name's Tony?
That's better.
Andy Dalton was not thrilled with the timing of his benching announcement. No, not because it was on his 32nd birthday, but because it was just before the trade deadline. So there was not enough time for him to potentially be traded. He said, quote, at that point, the way it was handled, there wasn't enough time for it even have that happen, a trade. If it happened 3 hours before the trade deadline, I wish they would have at least, if he was thinking about it, at least to try to let me see if I could end up somewhere, or at least let me see if there's an interest in possibly getting traded. Also, A.J. Green, Cincinnati's other good player, hasn't played all year, but was on the practice field today for the first time, and says he does not want to get a franchise tag from Cincinnati. He says he wants a long-term deal, or he wants to be out. I'm not going to be a guy that says, oh, I want to get traded and then go to a situation where I'm not happy. Like, I'm genuinely happy here. We might not win, but I'm happy here. But at the end of the day, this is a business. I know my worth, and I know what I bring to this team.
The franchise tag is nothing but a pain in the neck for the owners. It's supposed to help the coaches keep a team together, but the players don't abide by it. I don't want to be franchised. Well, I'm sorry. It's part of the collective bargaining agreement. You're going to be franchised.
Yeah, it's constantly a fight, the franchise
always,
tag.
Always a fight.
No one gladly just says, I'll take the top average
right.
of the best players in my position.
That's how I got signed last time.
Franchise tag?
They franchise tagged me. I said, that's fine. I'll take top five.
He just likes it because it's franchise tag, and he can spin that on the franchise. He right. loves the wording of it.
Do I really have to spin it?
Wow. So, I don't know if you guys know, Dave Martinez was ejected.
It's Davey.
Right. I don't know why this headline says Dave. Davey Martinez was ejected from the game last night.
Why?
Because in the middle of the seventh inning, he got into a huge fight with the umpire.
Why?
Because Sam Holbrook called out Trey Turner for interference at
first
base.
Doesn't Sam Holbrook sound like he lives right down the block from Freddie Kitchens?
You know what?
The Holbrook family. You know them.
You know the Holbrook.
I used to date the daughter. Holly Holbrook.
The dad, though, he was a real pain in my behind.
See, I'd love Andy Dalton to get traded to Cleveland. Because that would be great.
Why?
Just to hear Kitchens say Andy Dalton.
Well, I'm trying to tell a story about the Holbrook family. I took Lisa Holbrook to homecoming,
mm-hmm.
1986. She was so pretty. And I saw her, I said, you're beautiful, Lisa. I'm going to take you out in this homecoming dance. And it was the first time I'd worn non-overalls. But I wore my suit jacket and I took her out. And the dad came up to me, Daddy Holbrook, and he said, son, get my daughter home before 9 o'clock. I said, Daddy Holbrook, the dance starts at 8 o'clock. I can't get her home before 9.
I think it was the squash festival.
He said, you got to get her home before 9. So you know what I did instead?
You killed her.
No, I obeyed his orders. I got her right home at 8:45.
That's smart.
You never killed anybody.
No.
Killed.
Yeah, not back then. Over a dance.
Was Sam there?
Sam who?
Sam Fulton.
Oh, I forgot about it. I only remember the daughter and Daddy Holbrook. Oh. I forgot about Sam Holbrook. Anyways, so there was a 4-minute, 32-second delay last night during the top of the seventh inning. Of course, it really could have cost the Nationals. They thought they had second and third with no out. They ended up having one man on first with one out. But fortunately, Anthony Rendon, a.k.a. Tony Two Bags. Do you know how big that nickname is down there?
No.
Huge.
Really?
Everyone calls him Tony Two Bags.
Right.
People are holding up signs with bags on them. Tony Two Bags, everything.
Well, he had four bags, though.
He had four bags. He had two bags earlier, though.
Yeah.
He had two bags and four bags.
So,
six bags.
So meanwhile, that pot dealer in D.C. had to change his nickname.
Well, yeah. No. Tony Two Bags is taking over. And you just said earlier, if you call someone Tony, it's bad. Not if it's Tony.
Where I grew up.
Not if it's Tony too bad.
No.
Anyways, Rendon hits the home run. It's a moot point. They go up 5-2. They blow it open 7-2. And they get
the
win.
You were still nervous, though.
At 5-2, I was still...
7-2, you're still...
No.
Come on.
Bedtime. Good night.
Really?
I stayed awake, but I was ready. I turned over at that point. I laid down. I was ready to start falling asleep at 7-2.
So you fell asleep to the dulcet tones of Joe Buck.
I wish.
And you didn't know if it was Joe Buck or John Smoltz.
By the way, I got a tweet from someone who said that she does closed captioning.
Right.
And she really struggles with the difference between Buck and Smoltz. And she's been doing closed captioning for the series.
Really? I actually had somebody say that they struggle with it when it's him and Aikman.
As a closed captioner for some of the postseason games, I really did have trouble at first telling those guys apart. Even though he yelled at me and said I was a fool.
I still think you're a fool.
So Max Scherzer will get the start tonight. And according to Davey Martinez, he will throw until he can't throw anymore.
Or until he's ineffective. I would think that would also factor in.
Direct quote. If Max tells me tonight that he's good, then Max will pitch until his neck decides he can't pitch anymore. I can't see myself telling Max, you're only going 75 pitches. He's going to want to go out there and go as long as he can.
Well, why would you put a pitch limit? Pitch limits are for, you know, trying to salvage the next start or to not hurt someone's arm, not because they've got a bad neck. Yeah, you pitch until you can't pitch anymore. There's no tomorrow. You rest everything for months, right, Michael? What is 80 pitches? What's 60 pitches? Throw until you can't throw anymore.
Well, I think that that's the plan, but he's also dealing with an injury, so you pitch until you're not effective anymore.
Yeah, but you don't put a numerical value on that.
No, it could be 30 pitches. We have no idea how long he could last.
Alex Bregman, of course, after hitting a home run in the first inning, decided to carry his bat to first base. After the game, though, he had second thoughts about it. Here he is apologizing.
I just let my emotions get the best of me. It's not how I was raised to play the game. And I just let my emotions get the best of me, and I'm sorry for doing that.
I didn't like it, but once he apologized, what are you going to do? And I think he apologized because he was spurred on by Jose Altuve, who plays the game the right way. And I'm all for let the kids play for the most part. That was just too much. Especially a first inning home run, stop yourself. There was no need for that. And I love how Soto answered back. And by the way, the first base coaches, they want to kill these guys. You think they want to grab a bat?
Yeah, no one's trying to hold your bat. Soto kind of threw it at his.
They hate taking the arm pads. They hate it. They hate it.
Well, because they don't really have much
because
to
I
do.
Know they do because the players like toss these things at them like they're dogs. They don't want to do that.
Has anyone told you?
Past first base coach, I mean, Greg Nettles, there was a player on the Yankees when Greg Nettles was the first base coach who flung a helmet at Greg Nettles after he made an out. It was the last out of the inning, and helmet stayed there throughout the next half inning. Nettles just walked away. Wouldn't pick it up.
You're not picking up your garbage.
First of all, I won two World Series at the Yankees. I'm not your maid.
But you'd have to admit that first base coach is the pinky toe of a baseball team.
Not the way it is now.
Are you doing at first base?
You're timing moves and stuff like that.
What moves? Nobody's stealing.
Still, they throw over.
Mm, it's the pinky toe. I'm not saying you want to remove the pinky toe. It's still a part of the body, but it's the pinky toe.
I take offense.
And what toe would you say the third base coach is?
That's important.
That's a thumb toe.
No.
That's the big toe.
It's not the big toe.
Of course it is.
Of coaches, of field coaches.
Yeah.
But I'd say it's your right shoulder if you're right handed. That's how important it is.
I think you were going to say that
if the seasons can end based on your third base coach.
Foot for the whole coaching staff, the big toe is the manager. And the second biggest toe would be the third base coach, no?
No, the second biggest toe is the analytics guy.
Yeah. I'm so confused.
He's the heel.
So the average cost of tickets to this Game 7 tonight has been plummeting. It went down big time after the loss last night. And now the average ticket on the secondary market is $800.
That's incredible.
$2,200 to go to the Stanley Cups Game 7 between the Bruins and the Blues.
Who are the Bruins?
They played the Bluins.
Okay.
2016 World Series Cubs and Indians was $1,800. 2016 NBA Finals Cavs and Warriors $1,500. 2017 Astros Dodgers Series $1,200. 2013 Game 7 NBA Finals Heat Spurs $948. After that, Astros Nationals going for $800. So tickets dropping big time. I guess fans are nervous that with this trend of the home team consistently losing.
If that's the reason it's weak, I mean, because I have a chance to win a championship,
too. What could the reason be?
I don't know what it is.
Hey, by the way, everyone, don't forget to join me and Ariel Helwani. We're broadcasting live this Saturday night from 5 to 7 p.m. at Fela. 131 West 33rd Street is right down the street from the Garden. We're doing a UFC 244 pre-show, special guest, and guess what? We're giving away tickets to watch the fights from the ESPN suite that night. It's all brought to you by Modelo and 98.7 ESPN.